And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my counterpart, Joe DeLeon. Good evening, good sir. You're muted.
If you can't tell, I've been up since 5 a.m. I said that we lied to everyone. We said that we were going on Tuesday, and here we are. We're back on Monday. We just had the itch. The itch to go.
I'll always say when something's my fault. I told Joe that we had a T-ball game tonight at 5:30. We did not. It is tomorrow at 5:30, and then Thursday at 6:45. So you know what? We'll be able to go live on Wednesday. How about that?
Well, that's good. We're back to the normal schedule then.
Back to the normal schedule. We're back to whatever Ben's T-ball is. That's the schedule that we're on. Nevertheless, we are live, Joe. Really good conversation that you and I will have tonight. The top five defensive linemen in college football, I would assume that this is going to breed some very interesting conversations between the both of us. I think we both are very passionate about our top five here. I do think, and Joe, this is what starts. I told you, I think 2.5-3 weeks ago, that I think that defenses are going to be more up around the nation, not just like one or two schools. I think this conversation that you and I are going to have mainly starts this because of how good this defensive line class is. I think that you can make an argument for probably 8 guys to be in the top 5, maybe even 9. So with that being said, it's going to be a very interesting conversation, and this is going to be a big reason. Joe, I could see, you know, how this past NFL draft was very, very offensive heavy. I think 2025 could be very defensive heavy. We got a lot of big-time hitters in the country.
Yeah, this is something that I've mentioned and alluded to a number of times when we've been doing these position rankings. The offensive side of the football is not where the guys are. We're switching on over here to the defensive side.
No, we don't think so yet.
Nah, I mean,
you can... A lot of inexperienced quarterbacks. I mean, like, we don't...
Let me rephrase. The draft talent specifically, a lot of the premier players are going to be on the defensive side of the football. There is some room for a few players, I think, to continue to rise. But for my early looks at things, it really seems like there is going to be a lot of elite, dominant, physical players up front. There's going to be some really good linebackers we're going to talk about, corners, safeties. I almost feel like we're robbing our listeners a little bit by doing just straight defensive linemen, but we also don't want to do a ridiculous amount of these list episodes. We're going to have a pretty fun conversation here with the top fives that we're going to reveal.
Yeah, there's probably 3 guys that I can have a number 1 for me, but I think James Pierce Jr. is the best defensive lineman in the country. I think he showed that last year. I think there is some debate. And we'll talk about this. I do think that he can get bullied at times in the running game, late in games. I mean, we saw against Missouri, we saw against Alabama that there were times that, like, hey, man, when things did not go his way, he can be pushed around a little bit. However, if you're getting a fully conditioned James Pierce Jr., then he is going to wreck shop. Probably one of the sneakiest ads that Josh Heupel's ever had. And I got to admit, I'm sure we'll talk about Tennessee during this offseason. I don't know. Their secondary's ass, but their front 7 is really good, and it's led by James Pierce Jr.
It's almost kind of funny to look at the fact that James Pierce Jr. plays for Josh Heupel. Normally, we'd be sitting here, and we talked about Nico and the offensive implications and some of these other playmakers that they have, but it really is surprising that the most gifted player possibly in the country out of any position plays at Tennessee and is a defensive player.
Well, see, you're not old enough to remember. I'm old enough to remember the first SEC championship game that Nick Saban coached, okay, was against Philip Fulmer in Tennessee, and they had big-time dudes defensively. They used to be known, I mean, headhunters on defense. So I think that they've just gotten away from what they used to be in the early 2000s and things like that.
Yeah, it's not 90s. A Tennessee thing. I'm saying it's more of a Heupel thing. That's what I'm getting. Because I know Tennessee has a history of some really freaking good NFL players that play defense for them. But it's more so that we'd be talking about a receiver, a running back, a tight end, an offensive lineman for Tennessee, which Heupel has done a good job of putting those guys out over the past couple of years. And here we are. James Pierce Jr., the best player that he has probably had in his time at Tennessee, is a defensive end.
Very true. Do you think he's the best player in the country?
So far,
well, don't answer that. Don't answer that, because we'll do that in just one moment. Also, Joe, there's going to be an expansion on bowl games. How excited are you for another Pop-Tart Bowl? I mean,
well,
I'm
not officially. Not officially. Well, today was announced. Snoop Dogg's got his own bowl. I'm for that.
Where are we going? What are we doing?
What are you talking about? See, if we're going to do stupid bowl games and we're going to add meaningless bowl games, I would like for more fun sponsored events like that. We don't need the famous Toastery Bowl. We don't need any more of that crap. I'm all good with
Yeah, I'm with you. I just think that we're I mean, like, I don't know. I don't know. Like the Duke's Mayo Bowl. And the coach gets
I mean,
mayo.
That's a good bit. But that's a good bit. So is the famous Idaho potato bowl, the Cheez-It bowl, the Pop-Tart bowl. Those are all good bits.
Yeah, but those are actually good things to eat. Like everybody loves Cheez-Its. Everybody loves Pop-Tarts. Joe, you're getting mayonnaise dumped on you. That's fucking gross.
But it's all about the bit. I support any bowl game, if you can't tell, any bowl game that understands the absurdity of it, okay?
All right.
Anyone that takes themselves too seriously, I'm out on it.
All right. Well, I'll give you an ultimatum.
Okay.
You can stop wearing that hat and get out of your punishment if you get two jars of whole mayonnaise, put it in a bowl, and dump it on your head live on this show.
No, absolutely not. I'll wear the hat. So I'll wear the hat for a year before I would do that. That's disgusting.
That's my point. That is my point. Thank you for making my point there. All right. Also, let me throw this in there. I did add this because UCLA got a transfer quarterback. We might talk about that if we have time, but just in case, we'll wait until Wednesday. Yep. UCLA making a couple little moves here. Maybe I was wrong on their staff, maybe.
A little early to put that out there. I think it's a little too early.
It's going to be tough to go down to Baton Rouge. But nevertheless, I mean, look, we'll see. We'll see how they do as well. All right, we got a lot to talk about. Everybody do us a favor by hitting the like and share to all those groups. If you're on Facebook, all of your social media pages, you're watching us, listening to us on YouTube. Like, subscribe, notification bell, wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. Let's talk about our good friends over at betonline.ag. Stay with us. We got lots of debate. I'm sure me and Joe will be yelling in less than 30 minutes. Stay with us. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events, with the first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live, in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag, betonline.ag. We're back! You know, Joe, what's funny about this this job that we do is that, at least for me, there are some people out here that don't like your boy, that don't agree with me, and for whatever reason, they just don't like me. It's shocker. Crazy. Yeah, shocker, right? It's crazy to me, though, that when those people hate on your boy, one of them got in some very serious trouble doing something very naughty, and the other one is kind of racist. So there were some LSU fans that were getting on your boy this weekend, a couple weeks ago, and one of them got caught taking pics up girls' skirts, and the other
I saw that happen.
Yeah, okay. And then the other guy got blackballed or called out for rolling down a window and calling two black ladies a very inappropriate word.
are these just fans with small followings or
yeah, but they're always calling me out. Oh, and so I'm just like, I never say anything. But
well,
man,
I'm shocked that the shitty people who take it out on you are in real life actually people bad people. Life. It's usually pretty easy to figure that out.
Yeah, very easy. All right. Damn. I know. I can't lie. I'm glad that they get called out for the piece of shit they are. Travi Dyson says, Joe, that hat looks good on you, my boy.
I'm just not gonna speak when you pull these up on the screen. That's a good question. Is that Brian Kelly? Look, I will say
that's
this.
Marcus Freeman.
I will say this. This is the nicest LSU fans have ever been to me, which is ironic because for that 24-hour period, they were so unbelievably mean about me eating the hat. But I've got nothing but compliments about me wearing this for the next 4 months.
Very, very, very true. Very true. You will be. All right. Let's get rolling. Joe, we continue down our position battle list of our top five throughout college football. Today, we are at the defensive line. Now, we made an executive choice just to do the defensive line as a whole and not do interior and edge rushers. So I'm glad that we did that. Let's start off with your list. And who are your top five defensive linemen this year in college football?
All right, to throw it up on the screen, I got number one, James Pierce Jr. from Tennessee. Number two, Deone Walker from Kentucky. Number three, formerly of Purdue, now of Texas A&M, Nick Scowerton, also previously known as Nick Caraway. Number four, Mason Graham from Michigan. And number five, Elks, just for you, Tyleek Williams from Ohio State.
All right, let's put up mine here so we can get that out of the way. I agree with you at one, James Pierce Jr. at Tennessee. I'm going to push back on you on this one, Joe. Mason Graham at number two for me from Michigan. I'll give you my reasons why. But right behind him, another interior guy who plays really, really well, and Deone Walker from Kentucky.
Is it Deone or Deone?
Deone. Okay, Deone Walker. Technically D1.
I always feel bad because, like, man, there's like it's tough to really know for sure. It was like just like Jalen Polk this past year had an apostrophe, so like phonetically you'd think it'd be Jalen, but it was Jalen. I think it's Deone. I want to guess it's Deone. We'll figure it out eventually.
But you didn't see the joke there.
I see the D1.
Okay, Deone Walker at Kentucky, Nick Scowerton at Texas A&M, and Landon Jackson from Arkansas. That I'm sure that you will give pushback, but. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about him. And I know that probably Elks and other Ohio State fans will be mad. Before you get mad at Landon Jackson, there is this little thing called Google and stats, and Landon Jackson actually does have them. So let's start off with James Pierce Jr. here, Joe, in reference to James Pierce Jr., you could make the argument, might be the best player in college football. Now, he's not getting the pub, he's not getting the publicity. I don't necessarily know why. I do think he's the best edge rusher in the country. I don't think that there's any argument. I think he can go to left side, right side. I've seen him at times even do specific things in rushing up the middle. The only thing and look, he's special at rushing the passer. He is very special. But I do worry about him in the running game a little bit, okay? I do think that there were times last year not necessarily his fault, because I do think Tennessee just runs way too fast offensively, which I think he averaged like 84 plays a game. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, that is absolutely ridiculous. But when he's on, and if there's a third down in college football this year, I would want James Pierce on my team to get after the quarterback.
So you bring up the concerns about him as a run defender, which I understand.
I still have him at one, by the way. Just
to, I know. To his defense, he came in, I think he was like a 220-pounder when he was a freshman. He's up to 242 right now. This is a tall, lean kid. I'm not worried. I feel like he is the type of player who is taking these rapid steps forward that is going to improve his run defense, because he just needs a little more weight. He just needs to be a little bit bigger, because I think right now he's a thin kid. It's tough to be a strong edge defender against the run when you don't have the same weight of a guy like a Landon Jackson or a Nick Scourton. Like, I think, isn't Jackson like 260 something, 270 or something?
Yeah, he's
high,
he's
like
a,
that.
He's a big fella, but
and he's probably one of the best run defending edge rushers.
Okay, there you football. Go. Right.
With James Pierce Jr.
He's not the pass rusher that James Pierce Jr. is. He's got the same body as like a Von Miller. He's going to be that 240, 245, 250 range. But, Joe, the problem that I have with that is he's going to face two teams this year, okay, that is going to run the ball right at him, right? But, like, I mean, Georgia and Alabama, and what I'm hearing out of Alabama, again, I'm nitpicky. Okay, like if you're going to be the number one on my list, the best defensive lineman, all right?
Okay.
I mean, he's not – can he be better in the run game? And if he is, I think he's the best player in college football.
Outside of that concern, though, I think that the reason why he deserves the billing of being the best player in the country, the most gifted athlete in the country, I think is maybe an even easier way to phrase it because there's less of a debate there. I don't think that there's a single guy like him that is just on a snap-to-snap basis you have to prepare for. You have to know where he is on the field at all times. And if you watch a lot of tape of games, when he's on the field, teams run away from him. Teams will scheme away from him. They'll scheme slide protection with him in mind, knowing where he is on the field. He is long. He is explosive. His length is a real issue for a lot of these offensive tackles. His production last year was unbelievable, and you could tell that on a game-to-game basis, he was still just putting together the pieces on how to be as good of a football player as he could be. I think that this offseason is huge for him, and I really think if there's a player who takes a huge step forward who's already really freaking good, it's going to be this kid. James Pierce Jr. is a rare, rare talent for his size, his build, his short area explosiveness, his long speed, all that stuff. We just do not see guys like
high
this
motor
play the sport. Yeah, high motor is the biggest thing, too. He's got that Will Anderson motor where he'll go 100 miles an hour. Guys like this are just, they're not playing football. They're playing basketball. They're playing other sports. He is going to be an issue in the SEC, and I don't think anyone's going to argue that that's a hot take.
No, for whatever reason, again, I'll say this. I think for whatever reason, people just didn't focus on him enough. And I think that the lack of success from them offensively, maybe people overlooked James Pierce Jr. I mean, Joe, we should be talking about him more. But people are going to talk about Tennessee and Heupel and the offense and Nico, and that's what people will discuss. But not just him. I'm going to admit something. I do think that Josh Heupel sneakily, is that a word, sneakily? Or was sure. Has been very sneaky in recruiting a really good defensive front seven. I mean, Joe, they got a lot of dudes back, bro. I mean, you got not only experience returning, you got production returning. So you have another year now. Their secondary is horrendous. And what happens to them is because their secondary is so bad, okay, like even in the spring game, they got lit up. Okay, they're getting there. The front seven is doing fantastic. Just absolutely abused dudes up front. But because their secondary is so bad, they don't get the benefit of the doubt. So people overlook them. I will tell you, Joe, go back and watch every Tennessee game last year of run defense. I did a lot of it today on James Pierce. They were actually really freaking good in the running game. It's just when teams open up against them, Georgia, Missouri, they got their asses beat. The only game that a team really choked them out was Missouri. And look, I'll say this in reference to James Pierce. They ran right at him. I mean, they ran right now. He's getting doubled a lot. I get that. But a lot of teams are going to double you in the NFL. Right. Like, I mean, it's not look, I'm being very nitpicky, but
yeah,
it is what it is.
I think one thing that's really weird with James Pierce Jr., I'm not saying it's at the level of actually, no, it kind of is. It's kind of like Jadeveon Clowney, Myles Garrett esque.
Yeah.
The best player in the country, Von Miller, might not even be in the national championship conversation. That's what's really strange this year. And I heard somebody say that maybe there aren't really any premier stars in college football this year, which if you take that at face value, it's not 100% true, but some of the best players might not even really be in contention for the playoff. And I'm not saying that Tennessee is completely out of the conversation. They could have a really good season. Nico could take a huge step forward. James Pierce Jr. could be enough to really bolster the defense, and all that stuff could happen for them. But it just is a strange feeling that last year, Caleb Williams, at least at the beginning of the season, we felt good about their chances of making the playoff. And some of the other top guys like that we talked about, J.J. McCarthy and that Michigan team. But James Pierce Jr. is on a squad that might not really be on the radar of some of the other teams that we've talked about.
The problem about people saying that is because there's not, you know, you had a lot of quarterbacks return last year, a lot. And you have people replacing, but that never stops college football from finding superstars. And I do think that James Pierce Jr. is one of those. All right. Where do you want to go next on our list?
Let's get to Mason Graham. Look, this isn't me knocking Mason Graham by putting him at four. I don't think it's harsh to say he played on an elite defense amongst a group of guys that all of which should be drafted either this past year were drafted in the top 150 or the next upcoming year are going to get drafted in the top 150 picks at linebacker, at corner, and at defensive line. His impact is noticeable on a snap-to-snap basis. Very quick-footed. He's a really good pass rusher, super wide and low to the ground, and he's impossible to move off the line of scrimmage. I just didn't get that same snap-to-snap disruption that I saw from Deion Walker and that I saw from James Pierce Jr. Like, those guys have to do everything. Nick Scowerton had to do everything. He was the premier player by a long shot. I really like Mason Graham, and I think he is going to get drafted very highly in this upcoming year. But we have to just at least – I hate to do it. I have to give him a little bit of a knock because of the group that he is playing.
All right. All right, I can't take it anymore. You can't do that.
Why can't I do that?
Because, Joe, there have been so many great players that have played with other great players.
Wait,
it doesn't diminish.
You're misunderstanding what I'm doing here, though. I'm not sitting here saying, oh, I got to bump him because the rest of the defensive line is so good. That's not what I'm saying, though. I'm saying that when I watched him, I don't see the same massive disruption that requires a lot of extra attention that the other guys get. What did you say? I didn't hear you. Got cut off.
I mean, there were a lot of times where they would bring outside pressure, okay, from a slot or whatever, which technically from an O-lineman standpoint makes him what we would call an interior, okay? He's going to get double teamed, okay?
Like, man, he was getting double teamed. He does a great job of handling double teams, but like...
Okay, so you mean to tell me that a guy... You talk about there's not disruption. Joey had 7.5 tackles for loss.
I didn't say that he's not disruptive. I'm saying that the other guys are. When I put on the film, I see a lot more
edge rusher is
going to
be more disruptive than an interior guy. The interior guys are going to have a tougher time getting after the quarterback and stopping the running game. Joe, I'm going to be honest with you. He is the best interior defensive lineman in the country. It's not remote. It's not close.
No, that is not true. Him and Deion Walker are much closer than you're willing to admit.
Deion Walker does not have the motor that Mason Graham does. I've seen multiple times.
He's not 350 pounds.
Joe, I don't care. Like, Deion Walker didn't lose weight. You can't take – Joe, what was the biggest thing on Jordan Davis?
His motor and his weight. I think Deion Walker going into this year was better on tape for me than Jordan Davis was going into his last year.
Say that again.
Deion Walker going into this season was much more impressive on tape than Jordan Davis was going into his last season. No, what are you shaking your head at me?
Joe, Jordan Davis would get double and triple teamed and just absolutely mark
him. So does Deion Walker.
Not like that. I saw the film that you broke down. You know good and damn well that Jordan Davis was more of an impact than anybody when he was on it. Joe, you had him running
all
down.
All he used to do was bull rush.
I don't give a shit if he packed him a sandwich, he ate a sandwich while he's rushing. picked up the telephone from under the goalpost like his name was Joe Horn, called his grandmammy and said, "Hey, grandmammy, what you doing?" And then got to the quarterback. I don't care what his moves are.
Okay.
I don't care. We're talking about disruption. Mason Graham and 7.5 tackles for loss and the disruption that he had, not only in the regular season. Joe, he was honestly, and you know this, probably the most disruptive player in the playoff.
I would argue it was more Junior Colson, but Mason Graham still had a very good playoff. I'm a Mason Graham fan. Just God forbid, I don't want to put a one tech who, you know what? You want to get like really nitpicky here, He plays on the ground a lot. He's on the ground a ton on film. We want to get nitpicky? That's useless for me for a defensive tackle. That's why I'm knocking him. Well, that's too nitpicky. A defensive lineman who's on the ground.
Hold on. You mean a one tech was on the ground more than any other position? You're fucking right. He's going to be.
Jershon Newton was never on the ground as much as Mason Graham was in the film that I watched. Look, I love Mason. I love Mason Graham, but again, it stood out to me, and it was a negative for me that he needs to work on maintaining his balance. He can't get knocked. No, that was a bad voice crack. He can't get put on his knees as much as he does. I will give him credit. Okay. His motor is so high that I see all the time that when he's on the ground, he'll scratch and claw to get up and to still try and make plays. But I think that is noticeable enough for me to push him a little bit lower than some of these other guys.
Deion Walker takes all too many plays for me.
I don't think he takes off plays. I think he's just so much taller, so it's easier for him to play low.
Well, let me give you an example. Okay? Can I give you an example of the film you showed? Mm-hmm. I don't think that's a good play from him. Can I tell you why?
Which one? There's four plays in there.
First play when it looks like he's going all the way across the line and getting the rip. I don't know if you can play this or if it's something that we can play, but if you can,
let's not risk it. We might get
okay. Joe, he. There are multiple times against that game against Alabama that he got stuffed. When he faced off against Tyler Booker, he got stuffed. I mean, it was pretty bad. So, arguably, the best guard that he went up against, he was a non-factor.
I wouldn't know. I'm not going to classify that as he has a number of great plays in that game. I think saying he was a non-factor.
But if you're going to put him as your number two, he better against the best team that he played all year. The best team he played. I mean, Alabama still beat Georgia. I mean, you got to make better. You got to make more plays.
All right. To be more specific on why I have him ranked as I have him, he is.
He's great though. He's three for me.
Yeah. He might be one of the most rare defensive tackles that I've ever watched, and I said this in my tweet when I posted his film. The way that his feet, the way that he can move, the way that he can change direction, the way that he can drive, the way that he can burst out of his mm-hmm. pass rush moves, which guys that big don't have pass rush moves. This was my problem with Devondre Sweat. His big ass used to just run through people, and then if he got stopped a little bit, he gave up. I don't think that Walker has that in him. I think he's got a better motor than him, and I think he's got a better motor than Davis. But the quick feet that he has, he looks like, oh my God, who was the guy on the NC State basketball team?
Oh shit.
His feet are as light as his. I have never seen a 340-pounder at 6'6" that can move as light as he can. I think that kid takes a step forward if he gets into a little bit of better shape this offseason.
He's impressive. Look, he's in a very different situation, in my opinion, than Mason Graham. He gets more of the ability to get one-on-one because he's in that three tech. Okay, because he's in the five shade sometimes. There are a lot of times, Joe, that he gets one-on-one where I don't think Mason Graham will. Like Mason Graham's getting doubled probably 75% of run plays. Where I do think that because he plays on the outside shoulder of the guard, that he's going to get more one-on-ones, so it's a man v. man. I went back and watched some of your stuff in reference to him versus Tyler Booker. I don't like the footwork in reference to how he's getting the footwork to the gap. I don't like his hand placement because there's a difference between hand placement in a running play – hand placement when you're rushing the passer. He tries to play half man, okay?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Which I don't mind playing half man, but when you're going up against a run and you're facing Alabama, you got to take Tyler Booker and get him off of you. And he consistently couldn't do it. Now, there was a play that you showed where, you know, in that game that he got washed down and made a play. Well, he's getting pushed. It's not that he's just going to the ball.
But he's talking about the Alabama one where they're running like a wide zone and he
They're running a wide zone and it looks like a really good play, but it's something that, in my opinion, I would give an O lineman a win in reference to that's where the entire O line is going. The entire O line is pushing.
I understand what you're saying.
He's going from the left side of the guard in the play and he ends up at the right tackle. That is not. You, as a defensive lineman, especially at Kentucky, Kentucky does not do that. They play gap v gap. I'm not even guessing about that. Your dude getting pushed that far is an issue for me. He's not getting pushed though.
He reads where the flow of the play is going. He's playing a little too high. I won't disagree with that, and that's his biggest issue. He plays way too high.
You made me break my favorite pen.
Well, that's on you for breaking your favorite pen. I look, I understand what you're saying, that he kind of freelanced that a little bit, but he still read where the flow of the play was going, and he found the ball. That, to me, is impressive.
He got lucky. You know and I know he got lucky. Stop.
Let me ask you this, though.
Okay.
If Deion Walker learns to play lower this year, and he plays much lower.
I'll make this argument. Uh-huh. If he learns to do that and can take on double teams a little bit better, he'll be at the number one of this list because he's in the interior.
So I'm trapping myself in projection, but that's my reasoning why. I think that if he figures a couple things out, he is going to – and we forget. Sometimes when we have these big behemoth guys, their production's not really there. He had 12.5 tackles for loss and I think it was 7.5 sacks.
Absolutely.
He's one of the most productive guys on this list.
He is the most productive guy on the list. That's why he's number three for me. But, look, I'm going to say this, and don't kill me. Kentucky plays a shitty schedule. They play –
Well, that's good for him.
That's what I mean. Now go look at his numbers in the SEC versus looking at his numbers when they face the first five games when they're playing ass-cheek water teams. It's a vast, vast difference. Vast difference. I think he had 5 sacks going into SEC play. So, which means in the next 8 games, if I'm not mistaken, he had 2 sacks in the last 8 games, if I'm not mistaken.
No, that's not true. He had 0 sacks against Ball State, prolific Ball State offensive line.
Okay.
1 against Eastern Kentucky, 0 against Akron, 0.5 sack against Vanderbilt, 1 against Florida, 0 against Georgia, 1 against Missouri, 1 against Tennessee, 0 against Mississippi State, 0 against Alabama, which makes sense because he got his ass kicked by Tyler Booker. South Carolina, he had 1, 0 against Louisville, and then he had 2 against Clemson in the bowl game.
Oh, okay. The bowl game makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
So he had 2 going into SEC play.
He had 1.5. No, he had 1 going into SEC play. But, I mean, I kind of noticed the one thing that stands out to me is that he had 4 tackles for loss against Missouri. Like, that to me is impressive because their offensive line was pretty good and they ran the ball really well.
Yeah, and there was a play, I forget when and what quarter. You can go find it and put in your film breakdown. He runs down my favorite running back of last year in Cody Schrader.
I want to add this before we move on to Scowerton.
Okay.
We both have. When we've talked about Kentucky's defense, a lot of idiots try to clown on us. I'm telling you guys right now, this freaking kid, Jamon Dumas Johnson, and a couple other players on that defense.
I talked about them 3 weeks ago on our Around Your SEC. I think that, and forgive me, I don't remember the corner's name. He's number 31, though. I think it's Richardson, maybe.
Let me look.
Forgive me.
I know who you're talking about.
He led the SEC in picks.
Yeah.
The only thing with Kentucky, though, is, Joe, offensively, what are they going to be? Defensively, we know that they're going to be good. So we'll talk about them. But
is it Harrison? Is it Maxwell Harrison?
Yeah, Maxwell Harrison.
It was Harrison.
And he had 6 picks.
I'll tell you that right now.
I'm pretty sure he led the SEC in INTs.
He had 5.
Okay, 5.
5 last year. He's a good football player.
Harrison. How about that? You know that I begged. You want to hear a quick story? I begged because I thought he was going to go in the portal. And I might have begged in December. I was like, dude, he had 5 picks. LSU had minus 5 picks. But nevertheless. All right.
Yeah.
Let's get to Nick Scowerton here from Purdue. And now he is at Texas A&M. You have him at 3. I have him at 4.
I don't think you and I are going to get into an argument here.
I don't think we will either.
I think that this is the perfect combination of him being on a bad team last year.
Agreed.
Having one of the highest sack productions in the country. He had 10 last year. And then him inserting himself into a situation with a coach who is notorious for developing and coaching really good defensive linemen and really good defenses in general in Mike Elko. This kid could really explode. Like, this kid could go for 12 plus sacks this upcoming year.
I don't know about that.
He had 10 at Purdue, dude. Purdue.
Yeah, but
he had 3 in the spring game.
They're going to be, I mean, in fairness, well, maybe I'm going to, but let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Is he going to face better opponents at A&M than he did at Purdue?
Well, I mean,
because
the offensive linemen in the Big Ten are, there's some good offensive linemen.
Yeah, he's going to have to go up against Will Campbell and who's your boy from Iowa? Who's from Iowa? Caden Proctor.
Yeah.
I mean,
Caden Proctor.
Oh, by the way, he's got Kelvin Banks this year too. So here's what I'll say. I don't know if he'll go for that much, but you about to really find out some stuff about Nick Scowerton, mainly due to the fact he's going to be going against potential first-round picks, and how does he do it against them? If he can do it against them, he can do it against anybody. So I do agree. Now, here's the flip side of that. You talked about he did that at Purdue. Well, he's got a Shamar Stewart that is still at Texas A&M that's going to give him and free him up in reference to him not receiving those double teams. I think that A&M, as crazy as this is going to sound, even through all the chaos, might have 2 of the best defensive linemen in the SEC with him and Stewart returning.
Yeah.
So there's that. Let me ask you this, okay, because it's talking about A&M. Nick Scowerton on, I had to debate about putting in Walter Nolan above him.
Over Nick Scowerton?
Yeah, mainly just due to the fact, again, because of what I just said, you literally have Walter Nolan going against, in my opinion, potential first-round picks. I mean, Tyler Booker's ass. I mean, we think Tyler Booker might be one of the best interior guards in the country, and he whipped that ass.
I just don't love the idea. Like, I think Walter Nolan's a really good football player, but if he's one of those guys very, very hot and cold. I don't think that there was enough consistency for me to, like, really buy in on him, and his production in his career hasn't been very good. He is somebody who, at the end of the season, I could totally see being in the top 5. Like, I could totally see him having a really good year amongst the group of guys that he's playing with that he really steps up. But last year he only had 4 sacks and 8.5 tackles for loss, which is good production. But he's, I mean, he's more than super Mason hot. Graham.
It's
so Mason, I mean, Graham's an interior guy, and he rotated a ton. They rotated so many defensive.
So did Nolan. So is Nolan. I mean, Nolan. Here's the thing about Walter Nolan, though, that I do think, and look, he's not on our list. I don't trust him to an extent, like you said. Okay, I think there are a lot of hot and cold moments. However, Joe, there's no player that played better at both interior positions, right and left defensive tackle. Both in, you go in the three tech, you go in the one tech, and Joe against Alabama, he would be on the nose. Like, we're talking about a guy that's versatile and played all three at a high, high, high level.
He is, to that point, he's very unique because he can play a bunch of different roles. But to depict what I'm talking about here, we were talking about Walker. I think you were mixing up Walker with Walter Nolan, because the last six games of the season, he didn't register a single sack, and he only had one tackle for loss.
Yeah, he had a bad stretch. He had a really bad stretch. But look, you're probably right. That's probably where I did think of that. I'm going to give him a little bit of a benefit of a doubt. I mean, his head coach got fired. There was chaos. I mean, it was what it was. But you could have put him on this list. Look, in reference to Scowerton, though, I think he's going to be a really good edge guy. I think he's going to be really good for Texas A&M. Question goes for them, too. Can they score? There's so many teams that we're going to continue to say,
this goes with the Pierce thing that I brought up earlier, where I think a lot of the best defensive players
they're going to be able to score.
Yes.
Tennessee's going to score.
Yes, but my point is that we're a lot of these guys, these elite defensive players, are on teams where they've got deficiencies that might hurt them. Like, I feel like we're used to a lot of times when we talk about like Jared Verse last year, he was on one of the best teams in the country. So it was easy to bring him up when we were talking about top edge rushers.
If I'm not mistaken, he was our number one defensive lineman last year.
He was. I believe he was.
Mm-hmm.
Easy pick.
You know who was in Blake Ruffino's top five that I got ridiculed on? Braden Fisk, no big deal. I broke my own rule. I put in a group of five guy.
Yeah, you were giving me shit pre-show. You were like, "Oh, who fits that description?" And then you realized, stink. Okay, I want to talk about. Can I talk about Tyleek Williams really quickly? This isn't you and me having opposites here on Tyleek Williams and Landon Jackson. I'm not down on Landon Jackson. I think he is, as we're talking about uniqueness and profiles and builds. He's 6'7". He's freaking enormous, but. Damn, man, Tyleek Williams is one of the most underrated defensive linemen in the country, because we spend so much time talking about Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimoloau. And you know what? Those guys are able to play well because Tyleek Williams is eating up all the goddamn blocks. He is a big MF-er who takes up a lot of space. He stood out a ton to me preseason last year. And then on top of this, when I was watching Michael Hall for the draft, this upcoming 2024 draft, and I couldn't help but keep watching him, man. He is a tough, tough physical dude.
All right, I'm about to use your own words against you.
But he's not a number two. He's at number five.
What do you mean?
You're about to use my words. Again, go ahead. Go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead.
How are you going to say that for Mason Graham? You legitimately got your first point.
Yeah.
The first point that you made about Mason Graham. Well, yes. He played with a lot of really good dudes.
Because I didn't put him. I'm not putting Tyleek Williams at two, nor do I have him above Mason Graham. I put him at five. I kept him low for that reason.
All right. I feel like I had too many interior guys on my list. Okay. And so I was just kind of like, man, I need to get somebody that plays on the edge. Joe had 10 tackles for loss. I think that somebody that played really well throughout the season, you know, you look at him last year, he played in all 13 games. Okay. High production, 53 tackles for an interior defensive lineman is insane.
Yeah.
10 tackles for loss and 3 sacks. I don't hate your pick at all. I just really felt like, quite honestly, really, really, really felt like I had too many interior guys. So I went with an edge. I don't mind the pick. I think he is really good. Not a lot else I could say. He does free up a lot of stuff for the guys on the edge and Sawyer. He frees up for, say his last name, Tuimoloau.
JT Tuimoloau.
Tuimoloau. I see.
Tuimoloau. See, I get it, and then I listen to you try to say it, and then I can't pronounce the kid's name right. Or hopefully Elks can tell me if I'm saying it right.
I can't say it. Regardless, I mean, they got a really good defensive line. Joe, you could have put any one of those guys in number five or number four. I wouldn't have hated it. I mean, they got a really, really, really good defensive line. Doesn't really bother me at all.
Yeah. Landon Jackson, though, got to give him some props.
Played on a really, really, really bad team. Was the highlight of their team. Superstar of their team.
I'll take it a step further here.
I thought you hated him because you said he was bald.
I was joking. All right. That was a text message comment that I sent you. Let's not
said he looked like Hank from the TV series Barry.
I didn't say that, but he does.
Oh, Hank. That's what you kept calling him.
I didn't say that. You're putting those words in my mouth.
I'm just saying exactly what the text message read out.
No, that's not what the text message read. Okay, I was trying to fucking say Landon Jackson, a lot of credit to him. People made fun of him when he was in high school for looking. People made fun of him for the way that he looked in Correct. Those drills and that viral clip that he had. And he has ignored all of it. And he has gone every step of the way. He has busted his ass. You see a kid who's filled out his frame. You can tell that he's busting his ass in the gym. He's gotten stronger. He might be one of the strongest edge rushing outside defensive linemen on this group and in the country. He has completely outworked this stupid narrative that was given to him that everyone thought like, oh my God, why is this kid ranked as high as he is? Why is he getting the recruiting recognition? And there's a reason why, because he busted his ass to prove that he deserved it.
I think that he is playing in the wrong position.
Yeah, he should be playing in a 3-4.
Well, not only that, I think that he needs to be playing on the strong side because he's fast and strong. He needs to get his ass off that off the backside, stop going up against left tackles, go against less athletic guys at right tackle, and go get after the quarterback. Joe, if they do that to him next year, he's going to have double-digit sacks.
Yeah.
I mean, they put him in a horrible position. Look, the tackles for loss, I think the PFF grade, he was tied for second in the country of edge players that was double team last year. Teams really focused in on Landon Jackson, but he always made big plays. I think the battle between last year him and Will Campbell was phenomenal. I think it was arguably the best battle that we've seen from a first-round offensive tackle, maybe the first tackle off of the board next year, versus a guy, Joe, that might make his way into a late first round if people fall in love with him because how good he plays. The only thing I'll say is I want him to get a little bit more versatile with his pass rush stuff. I learned something more than a half-man bull rush and a dip and rip. I'm going to need you to learn how to lean your body, spin back through. You're athletic enough to do it. Use your forehand on the left chest plate and then go off and then swim. Do something, okay? Like, he's got to get more versatile in his pass rush. If he does that, he can be really good. But right now, I think that he is just a really, really good athlete playing football. And once he learns more moves, he will be fine.
It's kind of funny now, knowing that he was originally at LSU and how badly they need defensive linemen. It's kind of crazy to look at that and then know that they – I mean, is there reasoning why he didn't stick? Did he think he was
hurt. He broke his foot. Orgeron, who knows? Here's what I think. I think that Landon Jackson was around Orgeron. He realized how much of a fucking head case he was and was like, look, man, I'm out of here. And he had a coaching change and a lot of players left, right? So a lot of bad things went up against LSU with him. And look, they needed him. I mean, here's the crazy truth. Because of LSU's D-line, how bad they are, he might have been in this year's draft. Or,
yeah. No, he might
have been. Yeah, no, yeah. 21, 22, 23, he's a senior.
It wouldn't have benefited him declaring. But
yeah, I agree with that. But he would have had more production because everybody else that would have been around him is Duke. Well, so is everybody at Arkansas, but, you know, that is what it is. All right. You want to get to this bowl game stuff?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's talk about our good friends over at Home Field Apparel. We talk about that next. Stay with us.
Ruffino and Joe Show is brought to you by Home Field Apparel, which is the best, without a doubt, premium collegiate apparel brand that is out there. They have over 150 different colleges that you can choose from, whether you're an Illinois fan or a Rutgers fan. Maybe you're an LSU fan like Blake, or maybe you're an Alabama fan. Whatever it is, even Idaho, they have so many different designs for so many different football programs that I can guarantee you're going to find some great stuff to help root for your favorite team. I've already gotten my Notre Dame stuff. Blake has his LSU stuff. Make sure you head on over to homefieldapparel.com to check out your team's collection of clothing apparel that they have on the website. And when you do so, when you check out, make sure you use promo code Ruffino Joe to get 15% off your order. That is R-U-F-F-I-N-O Ruffino Joe. Head on over to homefieldapparel.com and get your college gear today.
I guess we're just going to name any bowl games whatever in the hell we want, right? I guess... The gin and juice bowl is cool.
I think it's cool. Why are you crapping on it?
I just don't. What you going to give the players at the end of the game? Some gin and juice?
I mean, that would make for a very fun post-game celebration.
I mean, everybody would want to play in that bowl game. Hell, I would want to play in that bowl game.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
All right. In real seriousness, take us into what your thoughts are on the expansion of these college football bowl games.
So we're talking about an article that was published by CBS Sports. Nick Carparelli, who is the bowl season director, who spoke to CBS Sports and talked about how he really thinks that they're going to add bowl games. One of the quotes in the article, and this was published by Brandon Marcello: "When I speak with head football coaches and athletic directors and conference commissioners, it's very encouraging. You know, I think it's more likely we add bowl games then subtract bowl games," Carparelli told 247 Sports this week at the annual Fiesta Bowl Summit for Leaders in College Athletics. And he went on to kind of explain the expansion of the playoff is almost a catalyst for expanding bowl games, which I think anyone with general reasoning would not agree with that. Anyone with just general reasonable thoughts would think, maybe this means that we're going to cut back. Now, he goes on to say in the article that once some of these projected NIL laws and new guidelines, once the settlement goes through with the House versus NCAA case, that these bowl games would be able to enter in NIL deals with athletes and say, we will pay you X amount of dollars to play in the game, which would retain said starters.
But here's the problem. When I read that here, they do that now.
This is the whole point though. One, I think he's over-assuming how much kids are going to be like, oh, cool, here's a $20,000 check. I'd rather get ready for the NFL.
Right. I mean, and I don't mean to poo-poo on this guy, okay? Like, really, I don't. Joe, there's no amount of money that would have kept the Florida State guys from not playing.
Mm-hmm.
None. You really think Keon Coleman would have taken just $25,000 to play? Hell no.
No.
Okay.
No. We got too many bowl games. This is stupid.
Now,
it's really stupid.
Which you could do. I mean, you're still getting paid with TV revenue.
What are you saying?
Schools are going to be giving TV revenue. If you really want to get, you really want them, you're going to have to pay them to play in the bowl game. Joe, I have no sympathy anymore. I'm here. I have no sympathy for any school. None. Zero. Zilch. Not in the P4. You're about to be getting and having to share 20 to 25 million with these guys. That means that you were holding. And by the way, Joe, they won't be taking a loss. Just newsflash. Okay. So with all of that being said, Oh, so you could have been given $25 million to play all this time, and you're not. Well, you can give somebody, you could give Keon Coleman $1 million to play. You can give whoever $1 million to play. I mean, if you're going to make the money, I mean, they got to benefit from it. Now, I get what he's trying to say. I don't think it changes anything with bowl games, Joe. Because what's the issue? What's the issue? The issue is guys opting out to get ready for the NFL and don't get hurt.
Well,
that is the issue, correct?
I think now the bigger issue than that, and that was never a thing until like 2 years ago, is the amount of guys that enter the portal and in this process, the timing of when they're in the portal is right when these bowl games are being played. So we saw a lot of barren rosters that were as devoid of talent as they were when they were trying to play in these games. That teams didn't have starting quarterbacks, teams didn't have starting offensive lines because they were in the portal looking for somewhere to go to.
Well, that's not a bowl game issue. That is a when you're going to open the portal issue.
Well, that's something that they the bowl games can't control.
Well,
so no matter how much money they have, it's not going to keep a kid to play.
Well, let's not act as if the NCAA doesn't know when bowl games are being played. I mean, it's a part of them to get this out there. Now, I mean, a lot of this falls on because guys need to get to a new school and enroll into a new semester and all that kind of stuff to get classes. Joe, I'm sorry. I grew up loving bowl games. I remember my mom, man, like cooking because I would be home, you know, like an FCS. If you're not in the playoffs, you're done by Christmas, yeah. Right? Like, I mean, we were done. So I'd go to Christmas break, man. I'd go home. My mom would cook. I wouldn't move. The buddies would come over. We'd sit there and do from like 11 a.m. to like 2:30 in the p.m. or a.m. really, okay? Because we watched that damn Hawaii game at the end. You know, it doesn't. We don't do that anymore. Like I might have a buddy come over every once. It doesn't matter. So I don't think any of this changes anything. Adding more bowls doesn't change anything. No. You know, my buddies want to do these college bowl pick-ems. I'm out because I can't keep up with who's playing, who's not playing. We'll do it to have fun, but I'm not giving you no damn money because guys are opting out. So, look, I love bowl games. I've always loved bowl games. They don't mean anything anymore to me. Like, it's cool that my team or your team gets to go to one and get that extra win, get more reps, get experience. I get all that. But from a fan's experience, there's a reason why, Joe, that you have massive fan bases. Like, I'll give R2 fan bases as an example. While you have Notre Dame and LSU and their fans aren't traveling like that. They're not traveling how they normally would. Like, y'all went to, what was it, Georgia? I mean, they didn't travel
It was Texas.
Texas.
We play.
They played Deshaun Kizer, wasn't it? Deshaun Kizer was the quarterback. By the way,
No. I was talking about this year where they went to UTEP and they played Oregon State at UTEP Stadium. And nobody went to that game.
Nobody's going to El Paso.
No.
Y'all don't go south of the Mason-Dixon line.
No. Well, if it was like a real stadium and there was actual attractions nearby.
You know what's crazy? I do remember that Georgia game and the Dogs packed that thing out.
Which Georgia game are you talking about?
The one with Notre against Notre Dame.
Talking about, but that was
Notre Dame. I'm just trying to give you shit. Notre Dame travels, but
teams and fans.
Joe, why would I spend my money for a meaningless ass bowl game? You know why? Because look, like so. For example, if your team would have lost, if my team would have lost, I'd say, hey, the Heisman Trophy winner's not playing. I mean, it's cool to get to 10 wins. It means zilch to what the reality of it is. So
yeah.
It's a recruiting pitch. All right. We will see y'all again on Wednesday. Wish Ben luck tomorrow. We gave him his birthday present. It's a water slide, a big ass water slide. Pray for
He's
me.
He's juiced up.
dude, is he? He is. He loves it. All right. We'll see y'all Wednesday. Y'all have a good one. Peace.